I appreciate the songs this morning. I appreciate the spirit in the hearts of those that sung those songs this morning. God doesn't always do things the way that we want or the way that we anticipate or the way that we think they should be done. But praise God, when he does them the way they need to be done. Amen. Now, sister, I still serve a God that's moved mountains. I still serve a God who's stopped the storms. I still serve a God who's raised the dead. But you know, even Lazarus had to go back to the grave. Even the disciples had to go back through the storms. Even the mountains still exist. But that doesn't mean that God's not able. It doesn't mean that God still can't. And God still won't. Amen. Paul said in the midst of the storm when everybody else was terrified, he said, everything's going to be all right. The angel of the Lord whose I am stood with me this night. Amen. I'm glad he still stands. When I've had mountains before me that seemed impossible to scale and impossible to get across, he's moved the mountains out of the way. Sometimes those mountains were people. Sometimes those mountains were things. Sometimes those mountains were things you can't even imagine. Praise God, he's moved them. Just because he hasn't moved the mountain yet, don't mean that he can't. I like that song. A little bit sings that one too, don't she? One similar, if not that one, is one similar to it. But I tell you, I'm thankful that we serve a God that hasn't changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And you don't know what mountains some folks are facing. You don't know what trials some people are going through. Until you've had to deal with things that they're dealing with in their lives. But thank God I can know the God that can bring them through them all. Turn in your Bibles this morning into Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. As you turn in there, we would like to welcome our visitors this morning. I was told we need to, you know, hurry up and get through this so we can get to the food. So we'll try to do our best. We'll keep you no longer than the Lord would have me to preach. And we would invite you all to stay with us this morning for our homecoming lunch. And in the afternoon, we're going to have Brother Brad Hanks and his family are going to be with us and be singing right back here in the church about 2 o'clock or so, maybe a little earlier, depending on how soon we get done eating and everything gets to moving. But we're looking forward to a great day in the Lord today and trust you are as well. If you have your Bibles and you're able, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in chapter 6 of the book of Mark, verse number 1. It says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Listen to this. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. Brother Steve McGill, would you open and lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. You may be seated. I wanted to preach a different text, a different scripture this morning, and had it all in my mind and my heart that I was going to be preaching about the sower and the seeds and the different hearts, but God had a different plan. God had a different message for this morning, and this is where he brought me. On homecoming Sunday, preaching about a troubled homecoming. You know, a home's a place where you always feel like you can go back to, and when you get there, everybody was going to be glad to see you. That's what homecoming's about, folks coming back that hadn't been here in a while. Maybe had moved away, they come home. They have homecoming in high school and homecoming in college, and that's the time when the alumni come back and they support the school's sports team and support the school and let them know that they haven't forgotten and haven't been forgotten. But here we hear about Jesus and his homecoming and how troubled it was. His own kin, his own family were offended in him. And you know, things haven't changed a whole lot over the years. Folks still look for things the way they want to see it. They perceive things, they want to see it. Several years ago in the New Yorker magazine, there was an account of a Long Island resident who had ordered an extremely sensitive barometer from one of the most respected companies in New York, Abercrombie and Fitch. And when the instrument arrived at his house, he unpacked it and he was disappointed. The needle on the barometer was pointing to a section on the scale that said hurricane. And he said, "This stinking thing can't be right." And he began to shake it and move it and beat on it and tried to get the needle to move, but the needle wouldn't move. The next day, on his way to work in New York City, he had written a scathing letter to the company that had manufactured this barometer, and he dropped it in the mail. That day, when he returned to Long Island, he found out that everything that he had left there was gone. His house was gone. All his possessions were gone. The brand new barometer that he got that said there was going to be a hurricane was gone. Because in September of 1938, the great hurricane that almost totally destroyed all of Long Island had destroyed his house just like the barometer said it was going to. You see, Jesus is a barometer in God's Word that tells us a whole lot of things. But so many people don't want to listen. So many people don't want to accept. So many people don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. He came back home. And everybody says, "Isn't this just Jesus the carpenter? Isn't it?" They wouldn't even acknowledge his father, which was in that day a great. "Isn't this Mary's son?" A son was never referred to by who his mother was. He was always referred to by who his father is. They wouldn't even acknowledge his father. "Isn't this Mary's son? Who does he think he is?" They were offended in him. Things were troubled at home. It was homecoming time for Jesus. It's homecoming time in Charlestown today. There's a problem here, though. There's going to be a little bit of trouble this morning. Everybody, because the same problems still exist. The same problems are still prevalent. Look at verse number 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Praise God, you'll find Jesus is always faithful in the house. We might not be faithful, but he's always faithful. Amen. You might be here today because it's homecoming Sunday. It's a special Sunday. But let me tell you what, Jesus is here all the time. Jesus is faithful all the time. I stowed that in there. It didn't cost you nothing extra. Amen. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They were offended by what he said. They were offended by his teaching, by his doctrine. Back in Matthew chapter 7, when he got done his Sermon on the Mount, and everybody heard what he said, they said, man, he speaks with such authority. He speaks with great power. But in his hometown, they said, who is he to speak this way? Where did he get all this knowledge? What gives him the right to say what he says? You see, the hometown crowd is the hard crowd. You know, pastors that come up in a church, and I'm going to tell you this is true. Jesus is right. A prophet is without honor except in his own home and among his own kin. Man, you'll go hire, a church will go hire some preacher that from down south, get a good old boy from down south, and he's got some kind of degree or something, and they'll hire him, and they'll bring him in, and the church will make all over. Now, y'all treat me good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. I love this church, and this church loves me. Amen? But you let some homegrown boy come up and start preaching. Amen? You let some of these young preachers... they come up in their churches and they are called to preach, and God's given them the honor to preach, and they won't even let them preach in their own church half the time. Hey man, I open this pulpit to young preachers all the time, and they invite them in, we invite them in, and we love to have them when they come, and they say, we don't get this opportunity. Hey man, why? Because they're without honor in their own country. They're without honor among their own kin. Mom and dad thinks it's great that they're a preacher, but let them preach maybe once or twice a year. Amen? Man, preach them young guys. Preach them young kids. Let them have the authority. Let them have the power of standing behind the pulpit, the authority of God's word, and let them proclaim it. Amen? But Jesus done come home, and he done found out something. The home crowd don't like what he has to say. The home crowd don't want to hear what God has given him. This wasn't the first time he'd had this problem at home, you see. If you turn over into Luke chapter number 4, you find out that when Jesus first started preaching, when he first started teaching, he opened up the scroll and he read from Isaiah's chapter 61, where the Bible was teaching about him, and the Bible was preaching about him, and the Word of God was letting the world know that he was a-coming, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all that bear him and all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Now they're saying, is not this Mary's son? That was a dig. That was a put down. But then it goes on down and says, and all they that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. Man, they are always offended at the things that Jesus had to say. You know, the world, it's amazing that you can go someplace where they've never heard the gospel and you can preach the gospel and it's more readily accepted, it's more readily received than it is where people have become accustomed to hearing the gospel. We had a missionary that we supported for several years who was a missionary to the former Soviet Union, and he told us when the doors first opened in the Soviet Union and he first got in there and he preached throughout Russia and the Ukraine, he said the people received the word gladly. They were hungering for what Jesus had. He said, but after a while they became just like Americans. Hey man, they heard it. It had become too familiar. They didn't want to hear it anymore. They didn't want to believe it anymore. They'd seen the power of the Word of God, how it had transformed lives. Well, what did Jesus say he came to do? To preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to them that are blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He was preaching what man needed to hear, and they wanted to hear it, but after a while, it got too familiar. You know what's wrong in the church today? We've got too familiar with Jesus, amen? And we get astonished at what he says. We get astonished at what's preached. And we just don't want to hear it anymore. We get tired of it. Amen? Let me tell you something. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen? The truth will stand when the world don't want to hear it any longer. The truth will still be the truth when it's rejected by everyone. But look at what happened. He slipped out of their midst. Whose midst? The hometown crowd. Whose midst? The people of Nazareth where he was raised. Who was it that was trying to throw him down the hill? It was his family and his kin folks. It was his neighbors and his acquaintances. Who was it that didn't want to hear Jesus anymore? It was them good old boys in the church that he grew up in. He went on down the road a little ways, came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, not day, days, amen. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Amen. They were astonished, and they would listen. They were astonished, and they would hear. They were astonished. And man, I think every time he opened the book, they wanted to hear what he had to say. Why? Because it was fresh. It was new. It was life-changing. It was life-touching. It was life-encouraging. It was life-giving. It was life-breathing. In it was life. It was the words of life. It was the words of hope, and they wanted to hear it. When everybody else left, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, are you going to go too? They said, to whom shall we go? You got the words of life. Amen. But the hometown crowd didn't want to hear it. Now there's a homecoming. And Jesus has come back. Amen. Jesus has come back. It's been a year and a half. Since he was there, since they wanted to throw him over the cliff. For telling them the truth. And now he's come back and he begins to teach in the synagogue. And now they're getting all offended again. Let me tell you, folks, there's nothing to get offended about. In the Lord, there's nothing to get offended about in his word. Praise God. It's the word of life. It's the word of hope. It's the word that changes. But I'll tell you what. You talk to the folks that have been born again. They'll tell you rebirth will do what rehab was never able to accomplish. Amen. You talk to the drunkard. They'll tell you that the word of God can change your life. That all the programs in the world was never able to help. You ask someone who's lived a life of immorality. and has got gloriously saved because of the precious word of God. Amen. And I'll tell you what a difference the word of God can make in a life. What a difference the word of God can do to change some heart. What a difference will be needed. What a difference would be able to meet every need in every life that has ever been. I forgot to do something. And I just forgot about what, thought about what I forgot to do. And if I don't forget to do it, if I don't do it now, I'll forget to do it again later. What did I tell you to remind me of? It's just on my mind. Hey, man. You say, what's that got to do with the word? It's going to have a whole lot to do with the word. Hey, man, if I don't get that off my mind, I'm going to stumble through the word. Hey, man. But let me tell you what, the word of God changes lives, but the world don't want to hear it today. The word of God still is doing what it needs to do, but people don't want to hear it today. People are offended when the preacher preaches, thus saith the word of God. People get their feelings hurt when the preacher says, you need to quit doing this. Well, who are you to tell me? I ain't nobody to tell you anything, but the word of God and its authority and its power says you need to quit doing those things and you need to change your life and you need to live for Jesus. People get offended. We talk about living modestly. Dressing modestly. People get offended. We're talking about having standards and living according to godly standards. People get offended. Hey, man, let me tell you something. The word of God's still going to offend if you don't comply. The word of God is still going to pierce and still going to hurt. If you want to live and work contrary to thus saith the word of God. There's going to be a trouble when you come to the house of God. There's going to be a trouble when you come out for homecoming. There's going to be trouble when you gather back in where the preacher is preaching the truth instead of what you want to hear. He's telling you what you need to hear. Jesus didn't tell the crowds what they wanted to hear. He always told them what they needed to hear. And they didn't always like it. They didn't always accept it. And they didn't always want him because he preached truth. Amen. Some folks are already ticked off this morning. Amen. Because you're not hearing what you want to hear, you're hearing what you need to hear. You know, there's always going to be trouble. You know, are you faithful? Are you surrendered? You submitted? You living your life according to thus saith the word of God, or you living your life according to what I feel I want to do, when I want to do it? If you're trying to do things your way, you're going to have a troubled time at homecoming today. Amen? Because when you come to the house of God, you need to come and you need to surrender your heart and surrender your life and let His will have His way. You say, but I don't want to hear that. You need to hear it. Listen to it. Don't listen to the preacher, listen to the word. The preacher's preaching the word. Any preacher that's a preaching worth of salt is preaching the word. He's preaching the truth. Man, the Pharisees sent a bunch out to take Jesus. You remember that? They were going to get him and trap him in his words, and they were going to arrest him and bring him back. They're going to find something that they could bring charges against him about. And they came back to the Pharisees, and they didn't have Jesus. And they said, where's he at? And they said, man, ain't no man ever spoke like this man. Nobody ever said what this man was saying. Let me tell you what, the Word of God will tell you things that nobody can ever tell you. Amen. The Spirit of God will speak to your heart. He will tell you the things that no man, no preacher, no Sunday school teacher, no deacon, nobody else can tell you. But praise God, the Spirit of God can show up and He can bring conviction to your heart and your life. He can tell you things that you wish nobody knew. You hope nobody would ever find out. But praise God, there are no secrets with God. He knows your heart. He knows your life. And He'll tell you the things that you don't want to hear when you don't want to hear them. And you'll get offended. There's nothing wrong with getting offended if it gets you to the altar. Amen. If it brings you to the place of repentance. They were offended. They were troubled by what he said. But here's what bothers me. They weren't just troubled by what he said. They were troubled by what he did. Amen. Troubled by what he did. Look. Last part of verse number 2. Verse number 3. From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Man, I don't know what it is about people being offended, about church, people being offended about the Lord, people being offended about the preaching of the cross, people being offended about the things of God that change lives, but they're still offended. Jesus is still doing mighty works in people's lives, and people are still getting offended. People say, well, we never see miracles anymore. Yeah, you do. You just aren't looking for them. They're still getting offended. You preach the cross of Christ, and people come in, I don't want to hear about that. My loved one died. My mama died. My daddy died. My sister, brother, my child died. I don't want to hear about Jesus, and I don't want to hear about his miracles. I don't want to hear about any of that. They get offended in him, but yet he's still working miracles in people's lives. You say, well, why didn't he? Well, you know, if God healed everybody and didn't let anybody die, where would you be? Very crowded. Amen. There's a purpose for everything. There's a purpose for every life. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time and a purpose for everything in our lives. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. The problem is we don't want to prepare ourselves for the times to come. Oh, but we've seen God do some great and mighty things. About 3 weeks ago, two doctors told this girl she had a tumor that was going to have to be operated on her brain. She asked for prayer. Two doctors said there's a tumor. You're going to have your brain operated on. Amen. Went back a week later. You know what they said? Ain't nothing there.
Praise the Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
Amen. Yes, thank you.
Brother Jack, he'd went and had ultrasound after ultrasound. I think he had 4 or 5 ultrasounds. I know there was at least 3, but I think, how many was it, Miss Eileen? Three or four before surgery. And they done told him that his carotid arteries were plugged up so bad that he had to have this surgery done immediately. It was of the utmost importance. And if he didn't have it done, he was certainly going to have problems, a stroke, die, something. It was going to be horrific. It was going to be horrible. And he had to have it done. And every one of these ultrasounds confirmed that he had these stopped up carotid arteries. And praise God, the day he went in for surgery, after the church had been praying for him, they went to do an ultrasound to find out where the blockage was. You know where the blockage was? It was gone. Amen. You know why it was gone? Because Jesus is still doing miracles in people's lives. Amen. And I could tell you story after story of incidents like that. I could tell you incidents where people called on God and asked him to remove something, and he reminded them that he doesn't always take it away, but his grace is sufficient. Yes. Amen. See lives broken by sin. People who'll come to Jesus and come and repent at an altar of prayer. Ask Jesus into the heart. Ask Jesus to save them. And they get gloriously saved. And they come out of one life into a new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old man dies. A new man is risen up. And he takes on a new nature. And he begins to follow God. And he sees the miracles that God works and the miracles that God has wrought in other people's lives. And he desires them for his own life. And he sees God to begin to do a work in his life. And praise God, you tell me there's no miracles. Oh, he's just a carpenter. A year ago, isn't this Joseph's son? Now he's done come home for homecoming. Isn't this Mary's son? Let's treat her like a whore. Let's consider him a bastard child. He's nothing. And that's the way so many of us are. We treat Jesus like he's nothing. And it wasn't the people that didn't know him that were treating him this way. It was the home crowd. Amen. He's just a bastard. He's just Mary's son. He's nobody. Who is he to speak like this? Who is he to do these things? What things was he doing? I'm glad you asked. Amen? I'm glad you asked. Look at this. John sent his disciples to Jesus. He said, go ask him, is he the one or do we look for another? And John chapter 7, or Luke 7:22 says, then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Jesus said, go back and tell them all the things that are going on. Let me tell you what, church, we need to stand up and we need to testify about the things that Jesus is doing in our lives, amen? The things that we have seen, the things that we've heard, the things that we have witnessed, that we know that no one else and nothing else could have done it but the hand of God. Amen? But it's the home crowd that got offended because he was doing these things. Oh, there he goes. He's sounding like one of them ecumenical Pentecostal preachers. No. I'm just a Bible preacher telling you what the Bible says, what the truth of God's Word says. People get offended. You tell people, you don't need a program, you need Jesus. They get offended. You don't need a better paying job, you need Jesus. Because it don't matter, you can get the best paying job in the world, and if you don't have your priorities right, you don't have Jesus in the right place in your life, your money's just going to blow out the window anyway. Amen. Amen? You don't believe that? Go read the Word. God said, I'll blow on it, and it'll disappear. I've known people that have made all kinds of money. I know people that are extremely wealthy, and are some of the most miserable people I know. Because they can't find satisfaction. I met some of the poorest people. A little old lady used to live up here. What's her name, Charles? Lived up here on Cemetery Lane. She had Parkinson's disease. She was all bent over. Lived in a little old shack of a house that was half fallen down. And she couldn't even look at you. She had Parkinson's disease. She shook and she had osteoporosis. She was all bent over like the woman in the Bible. And it was all she could do to stand to look at you. And even when she was sitting down, she had to struggle to look up at you. But man, that woman had the sweetest peace in her life. Anybody I had ever met in my life. She had the sweet peace of Jesus. She had Jesus. She had everything. She had Jesus. She had all she needed. They're offended by the things that he's done. He's changing lives. Yeah, he'll change your life. Yeah, he'll take you out of where you are and put you where you need to be. Amen? Yeah, he'll take you out of your own desires and your own selfish ambitions and put you in a place where he can use you for his glory. Amen? He can change your life. He wants to change your life. He wants to make a difference in you. Amen. And don't be offended. Don't be offended. Just let him in. Just let him in. And just let him do it. Man, we need to look at our lives and say, Jesus is always doing. And Jesus, through the centuries, has always been faithful to doing things in people's lives that are just utterly amazing. The church has seen him do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. But we need to ask ourselves as a church, we still get excited? Do we still get thrilled about what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus can still do? Are we faithful? Are we vigilant, diligent, and doing what He's told us to do? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, are we always steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord? Why, He's faithful, we should be too. Man, He's done wondrous things, and He just wants us to tell the world, are we doing what we should do? They were troubled by what He said. They were troubled by what He was doing. And they're troubled by what's going to be missed. Look at verse number 5. And He could there do no mighty work, save that He laid His hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And He marveled because of their unbelief, and He went about the villages teaching. When the church quits believing, when the church is starting to get offended because of what Jesus is doing, and it no longer wants to hear Him, man, we don't want to hear the unadulterated word. We want to hear what we want to hear. When the church is offended and what He's doing, we don't want to see things happen that way anymore. We believe we're going to program it out. Jesus can do no more there. Because you don't want to deal in faith anymore. You don't want to deal in trusting Him by faith, just sheer faith. We still get saved by faith. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how much money you have, how much you can give, how much you can do. It's still by faith through grace. That hasn't changed. Jesus couldn't do anything in that church because they were offended in Him. Verse 6, it says, and He marveled at their unbelief. You know, there's two places in the Bible that says that Jesus was taken back, that He marveled. One place, I'll give you the scripture references if you want to write them down and go look them up. Matthew 8:10 and Luke 7:9. The same account, same narrative of the same story. But He marveled at the faith of this Roman centurion. You remember the story? He sent his servants to go and tell Jesus to come. And the man, and he said, I've got this servant that's sick, and I love him very much, and he's a faithful servant, and I want you to heal him. Jesus said, I'll come. He said, no, you don't have to come. All you got to do is just speak the word, and I know it'll be. Jesus marveled because He had found no faith like that among His own people. It was a Roman centurion. But now, in the midst of His own people, in the midst of His own hometown, in the midst of His own kinfolk and all those around Him. Church, are you getting this? Church, are you putting the application where it needs to be? They're offended in Him because of what He said and what He's doing. They don't believe. And because they don't believe, they won't receive. Man, He wants to do great things. Everywhere He's gone, He said, to just tell John. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cleanse, deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor get the gospel preached to them. He said, go tell John all these things. He wants to do all these things. He still wants to do all these things in our lives, but He can't. Why? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And He marveled because of their unbelief. Souls are going to go to hell today because of their unbelief. can look around and see lives that are transformed, can hear the testimonies. Man, maybe the saints ought to be giving their testimonies a little more of what Jesus has done. Amen. How Jesus has saved them, how Jesus has delivered them. The world needs to hear it. The lost need to know it, so that they know they can place their faith and trust in Him, and He can save to the uttermost. Amen. The sick need to get up and give the testimony of how God has delivered, how God has brought them through, how God has sustained them, how God has been faithful. Those that don't know, I'll tell it again. I always like telling this story. My favorite story since I've been a pastor in this church was Miss Ella. Last time they found out that her cancer had come back, she battled cancer for some 15 years. And last time it came back, they told her there was nothing else they could do. There was no more hope. Sister Joanne was standing back there. I was at the door. She said, "Miss Ella, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I love this. What a testimony. I love it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do." She said, "I'm going to slap my wig on. I'm going to paint my lips up. And I'm going to come to the house of God for just as long as I'm able." You know what? The world needs to hear that. Amen. They need to see that kind of a faith. A faith that takes them through Death Valley. A faith that gives them the courage to go on knowing that He who walks through the valley of the shadow of death with them is the giver of life. He's the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. He's the one who rose victorious for my account, for my justification, as He says there, so I would know. Without faith, it's impossible. The church needs to know. The world needs to know. The placing your faith in Christ is the greatest single act any of us can do in this life. Mom, it's not giving birth to a child. It's getting birthed into the family of God. It's the greatest thing ever done. Man, it's not being a success in your business life and being fortunate to be blessed in all the things that you have. The greatest thing you can do is place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not being well known and well respected for all the things that you do. The greatest thing that you can do is place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus marveled at the unbelief of those who were so close to Him and should have been more apt to believe than anyone. But familiarity breeds contempt. We get so familiar, we get so hardened, so in tune, so deaf to what Jesus is doing that we just tune Him out. To our own detriment, to our own hurt. It was the hometown crowd. It was the homecoming service that Jesus was preaching and teaching. Jesus was showing works. Man, he'd just come back from casting the demons out of the madman of Gadara. You remember that story? The rude dude in the nude in a really bad mood. Amen. Jesus met him and changed his life. He'd just come back from the woman with the issue of blood that had touched the hem of his garment. He'd just come back from raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. And the hometown crowd was offended. The homecoming crowd was offended. It's homecoming, folks. It's homecoming. Don't get offended in Jesus. Amen. Surrender your hearts and lives. Let's get a song of invitation. Surrender yourself unto Him. Surrender and let Him have His will. Surrender and let Him have His way. Surrender and let Him do all that He wants to do. When He marvels at you, let your desire be that He marvels at your faith instead of your unbelief. As we stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes.